after finishing the work in the fields, I was like running to the cellar and spending the rest of the day there. And has been just incredible. As I don't know, there is a vibrancy during this time and seeing like how the what is going to be wine is changing literally every moment, every day. You're living like a vat. So one evening when you're finishing your day and the following day, like something has already changed. It gives you that sense that wine is a living product since the very beginning. And this kind of evolution, you know, that is going to just like keep going and going over the years. And I found myself so much in love with this like part of the job, which I was not expecting.
Ciao, buongiorno, da bin ich wieder und schön, dass auch du dabei bist bei einer neuen Episode meines Podcasts Chianti Classico fürs Ohr. Ich bin Nina und ich liebe Chianti Classico und mit diesem Podcast will ich dich mitnehmen in meine Chianti Classico Welt und dich teilhaben lassen an Gesprächen mit Winzern, an meinen Eindrücken hier im Chianti und dir so viel wie möglich über Chianti Classico erzählen. Heute sitzt mir Maria Giovanna vom Weingut Casaloste gegenüber. Sie ist die Tochter von Emilia und Giovanni Dorsi, den beiden Besitzern dieses Boutique-Weinguts aus Panzano in Chianti. Maria Giovanna steht für The Next Generation, also die junge Generation von WinzerInnen hier im Chianti Classico. Bis vor einigen Jahren hat sie noch in London gearbeitet und gelebt, hat sich aber dann entschieden, zu ihren Wurzeln zurückzukehren und das Weingut Casaloste langsam von ihren Eltern zu übernehmen. Vielleicht erinnerst du dich, ich habe im Jahr 2023 bereits eine Folge mit Maria Giovanna aufgezeichnet. Gerne kannst du diese nochmals anhören. Du findest den Link wie immer in den Shownotes dazu. Ich habe Maria Giovanna das letzte Mal Ende September getroffen. Da war die Ernte noch voll im Gange. Wie immer, neugierig wie ich bin, habe ich gefragt, wie läuft's denn so? Seid ihr zufrieden mit der Ernte? Und da haben mich plötzlich zwei Augen angestrahlt, wie ich es bei Maria Giovanna noch nicht so oft erlebt habe. Was sie so zum Strahlen gebracht hat und auch heute noch bringt, das habe ich mir gedacht, soll sie dir am besten selbst erzählen. Also lass uns am besten gleich eintauchen in die Welt von Maria Giovanna. Und weil Maria Giovanna leider kein Deutsch spricht, führe ich das Gespräch mit ihr in Englisch. Buongiorno, cara Maria Giovanna.
Buongiorno, Nina.
Thank you for your time and thank you for giving us the possibility to do a new podcast show together. I'm particularly looking forward to our conversation today because we met about a month ago when the harvest was still in full progress. As always, curious as I am, I asked you, how is the harvest going on? Are you satisfied? But I didn't even have to wait for the answer, because your eyes immediately gave everything away. Your eyes were shining especially brightly. I've never seen before like that. So I try again and will ask you, but now your eyes aren't enough. Because unfortunately, we can't hear them. So my question is now, what was so special about the 2025 harvest for you?
So first, it's always a pleasure to be here, like sharing a glass of wine and some good conversation. And I think it's fantastic to speak about like the 2025 vintage, because as you know, it's been my very first vintage in the cellar.
My very first.
Yes. Like I go back 3 years ago, four now, I have to say. And of course, like based on my background, I worked more on the like commercial hospitality marketing side. Even I have to say, like since the very first harvest, which was 2022, I've been in the fields. So I was like picking, selecting. So I already seen a part of this very first phase of the production. But this year, after finishing the work in the fields, I was like running to the cellar and spending the rest of the day there. And it has been just incredible. As I don't know, there is a vibrancy during this time and seeing like how what is going to be wine is changing literally every moment, every day. You're living like a vat. So one evening when you're finishing your day and the following day, like something has already changed. It gives you that sense that wine is a living product since the very beginning. And this kind of evolution, you know, that is going to just like keep going and going over the years. And I found myself so much in love with this like part of the job, which I was not expecting because it was a completely new world.
Funny.
Yeah. I mean, like, I knew that I wanted to learn more, that I wanted to get my hands dirty and just like see exactly what was like part of the harvest, that I found myself like staying until late in the evening without any pressure or concern or anything. Like I was doing all the job, and it's been just fantastic.
And you gave us both, let me say, the opportunity to have the result now, even now in the glass. Yeah. Of course, it's not the final result. It's a baby. It's mm-hmm. Perhaps half year old connecting with a person. So maybe taste it. Yeah. I'm so curious.
I mean, this is like I like to say that like a bottle of wine is always like the result of a lot of like little choices during the process. This is, as you said, just like a little baby. So it's just like a glimpse of what is gonna be. But
you opened the window a little bit, 1 centimeter for me.
Exactly. But I have to say the 2025 harvest has been great for many different reasons, and definitely from more technical aspects. Mm-hmm. Like the grapes that we picked at Casalosse were very healthy.
Yes.
We got a great quantity as well as like a great quality. But I think when I was talking to my father, of course, who is just behind all the production, I realized how like our grapes were extremely balanced and extremely healthy. Mm-hmm. Because despite the rainfalls that we got like before the harvest, mm-hmm. and during the harvest, mm-hmm. I can tell you then like a very funny story of how I got wet in 5 seconds during like a field's day. But I think it was great how the rain didn't impact it that mm-hmm, much mm-hmm. because like the grapes were so balanced, mm-hmm. were not stressed at all, that as much they got the water, they didn't kind of just swelled out of that.
Yeah.
So I think it was just like there were a few elements that really brought us to have like an amazing phenolic ripeness for the 2025 harvest.
So now you make me so cool.
Let's go then.
Thank you for the possibility.
A pleasure.
It is really like fruity, and it's like you don't smell the alcohol, or not so much alcohol at the moment.
Correct.
You just smell, for me, it's just fruits, dark fruits. The color is beautiful.
We were just saying, is like this like very vibrant and bright, like purples with this like red shades, which is just like fantastic. This is like we have in our glass our like Sangiovese, of course, like the king of the Chianti Classico region. And the nose has this kind of like very strong fruit, but if you look like into it, there is like some more herbal and floral comings along as well.
Yes, floral. I would say this very rosa roses, I think.
Yeah. Of course, there are like some like greens, like flavors.
Yes.
We just said it's like a super, super young, young wine.
Yeah. Tells us a young story.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think it's just like when you find like some characteristic that you're very curious to see how they're going to evolve over time.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I like it also in this part of evolution, let me say. Very nice.
I think it has like some smoothness and a great elegance, which I mean, I like to describe sometimes that when we have the wine at this stage, it's like having a set of colors that you can then combine together or kind of like work depending on the type of age that you're gonna decide to just like pursue to create your own interpretation of this territory.
Nice, very nice acidity, I feel. Mm-hmm. It is perfect because very elegant acidity at that moment. Wow. We hope. Keep it.
We have great plans for the wine of this vintage.
I know that many producers are always struggling with the weather. So they hope for good weather conditions during vegetation, of course, but especially during the harvesting time. They all I would say, you will agree, I think. They say the last 2 weeks before harvesting are very important, and the 2 weeks of harvesting are very important. So this is a very special period because everything, so many things are, let me say, done for the future. It's the results you get in for the future, for your future product. So I'm curious, you know, how was the weather?
Well,
during harvesting.
Yeah, I mean, you just told us. I mean, like the weather is the unpredictable element of a winemaker. I think it is also like a companion. You have to learn how to deal with.
Yeah.
And as my dad says, we are under the sky. There is like, we always look, and if I think about like how we manage the harvest.
How did you manage?
Well, I mean, like the weather is a big important element to check. Like usually the timeline is my dad waking up like at 5 o'clock in the morning, checking at least 10 different weather website to see how the day is gonna be. Then you
got 10 opinions.
exactly. Most of the time, because like weather forecasts are not that great at the moment.
Yeah.
And then basically just like we decide together if we're gonna just harvest or not, so we can communicate that to the seasonal worker that they come to work with us. And I have to say that this year we had a great team, which was extremely flexible, very diligent, very focused in just helping us to bring the best into the cellar. But definitely,
sorry to interrupt. No. So that means that you have every year another harvesting team. I think
correct.
This is also important to say because this is, you have always to introduce them to the work, I think.
Exactly.
Or
I mean,
to
like
the work at Casaloste.
Exactly. So every vintage is different. Of course, like throughout the year, we have a team that is composed by 9 people, including myself and my parents. But for the harvest, we need more people. Mm-hmm. Usually we're between 10 and 12 people more.
Yeah.
And they're different every year. I think there are couples that have been doing like a couple of harvests with us, but most of them are new. That's the reason why we usually brief them at the beginning, because of course they have to understand the mechanic of how we just like harvest is always handpicked. We work with like boxes of maximum 15, 18 kilograms, because the idea is bringing the grapes as intacted as possible into the cellar, as well just like giving them some direction to what to pick and what not to pick. I mean, if you have visited Casaloste, and I'm just inviting all our listeners to come and visit, but our winery has been building over time. That means that we don't have like a big cellars where everything everything is in one place. Reason why we have to be extremely efficient and with our time and bringing only the best selection in the cellar. So the work that happens in the fields with our like seasonal workers is absolutely fundamental. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why like I'm spending time with them. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually like I've been in the field since like my very first harvest. But that's a way for me to just like understand how the harvest is going. What is the quality and the quantity that we are bringing to the sellers. Yeah. But also to just like supporting them and providing them like answer if they don't know what to pick or what if they have any questions. Because of course you can just give a lot of direction, but then every single grape can be different from the one that you just like took as example. So yes, and the weather, I was just like mentioning that a moment ago. I can tell you this story because it's like quite funny if you just look back. But basically we were like having a great day. It was really sunny. We were working really with a great pace. We were just like going through and selecting the grapes and just everything was going really well. It was around like 4:20 in the afternoon. And usually we finish at 5. So we were almost at the end of the day and we were finishing the parcel that we were supposed to, and a certain point in distance everything became dark, like dark clouds, and we were like, okay, a storm is coming, maybe we'll be able to finish. Not even the time to finish the sentence that we got. So much rain in I don't know like 5 minutes. Not even the time to like run back to the winery, that we were completely soaked. Yeah. Completely. You know, when you can just like, I have a video of me taking off a boot with, I don't know, 2 liters of water inside.
now it's funny, but at that
moment. Yeah, at that moment, I was like, oh, we were so close to finish. But that's part of the experience. And as I was mentioning before, I think this harvest has been so great because the grapes were so balanced and healthy and not in stress that even like the amount of water is in such a short time didn't impact what we got. So we were able to actually just like wait the following morning for everything to dry, as well as just like start again. Plus, I have to say that this year, my father, as usually happens, decided to do a defoliation, which really helps like the grapes to be able to like dry under the sun after the rain. Mm-hmm. So it just like provide us like a better approach to actually restart the harvest.
Because it's necessary that the grapes are dry when you are harvesting.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, like the grapes, the skin of the grapes is hydrorepellent. That means it doesn't absorb water. But of course, like if you start picking immediately after like a rainfall, you are bringing some of the water with you, which can lower the sugar, and then you can impact the alcoholic fermentation, which starts immediately after you just like push.
And at the end, it's also less quality, let me say.
Exactly. So it's like really important to just like set. This is when I'm saying that the weather and natures are becoming your companion that you have to deal with. Is exactly that. There are some variables that, of course, you can make choices based on your experience, like your study and everything. So it's really important to have that perception of what is the status quo to decide what is the best approach to have.
Yeah. It's always, for me, it's always crazy. It was your first harvest where you have been responsible, let me say, for it. Of course, you have your father in the background. I think this helped.
Oh, totally.
But how did you feel with this responsibility? Because I imagine you grew up at Casa Loste. You lived there as a child. So you had the experience of the season of harvesting in your blood, I think. Mm-hmm. Because I can imagine the family, the harvesting was the most important thing. And you noticed that the situation, but in a totally other way, because you have been a little child or a young girl.
Yeah.
Now you're a young lady. Mm-hmm. What is the difference in feelings for you?
Well, I mean...
What do you feel now?
I feel extremely grateful to have the chance to actually do a job like this one. I am more than ever, I'm extremely happy and proud about my choice of coming back. I think like when you change your life completely, as I did, there is always the idea that you know what you're doing, but what the future holds is something that you're going to discover over time.
From London to Panzano.
To Panzano, yes. A big change, like a tiny change. but I think like having the chance this year to just like see a 360, like what we do in the cellars with the new harvest, it just made me feel so honored and proud of what my parents built. And of course, the responsibility to just like celebrate and continue what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Also, I think it's very important when you're approaching something that is completely new. I don't have a background in agriculture, to kind of like be there observing and following the directions and learn and ask questions. And I think my role in the cellar has been very much that.
Yeah.
So just like following the direction, the guidance, asking questions, and just like learn, absorb, I think is also extremely exciting because you are in a new environment. You have some information, theoretical information, and for the first time you have your hands on. So you feel very much a sponge. You know, when you are at the beginning of your career and you have this excitement and you have this kind of like anger of like learning more, of just like discovering more. So I think I took every single day as a way to improve and increase my knowledge.
Yeah.
I have to thank, of course, my father, who has been fantastic, but also like a great team in the cellars, who really supported me. And it was really nice spending time with them because you were getting like different type of backgrounds and different directions. It was a very lovely environment. So we laughed a lot because I was spilling wine on myself like so many times, but that's kind of like the fun way of learning.
Yeah.
And again, I definitely fell in love with this job even more than I was before.
Mamma mia! I can see again your eyes. How did your parents react when you told them that you come back? Because I think also for them it would be. Was difficult to understand why she coming back. She has a career, beautiful career in London, and now she's coming back to Panzano. And let me say, it's not the easiest time at the moment for the wine business because of the climate change and other conditions. So it is not easy to do that work. Let me say, how did you react?
Well, I mean, we had like many discussions. I think I demonstrated that I was willing to come back like a few years before I actually came back. And I think there was always this ongoing conversation of that was something in the back of my mind. And personally, I realized at a certain point that I was at the point of my life where I wanted to make a choice deciding, okay, again, I'm going to keep going with my career or I'm going to like take the chance, jump into these things and come back. And I'm also glad that I made this choice after a few years because I gave myself the time to mature the informations and make a very conscious choice. When I got back, I knew that I wanted to come back, which I think was like essential because this job is like taking so much from you in terms of like mental, physical energy, passion as well. So I think I was very, very glad that my parents gave me that time to actually decide. And I think they were happy as well as also kind of like they didn't know what to expect. Because as much you are their daughter, you also have to face that we are professionals as well, bringing our own background. So I think it's been a journey, as usually happens.
Yeah.
It takes time because you have to know your parents in from a different light, and they have to know you under a different light. And I think at the moment there is like a great environment, atmosphere. There is a lot of conversations, and there is a lot of like understanding what my parents have been doing in over 30 years. So I'm learning to understand what would be my approach in the future.
Yeah, this would be my next question, because I hear a lot of respect out from you to your parents, which I can definitely understand. And for your father's experience, your mother was always traveling. And when I learned Casalosta, I only knew the face of your mother because she was always at the fairs and the presentations. And she was the face, let me say, of Casalosta. But your father was doing the wine or making, producing the wine. He was the character of the wine, or he is the character of the wine. How do you balance this respect for your father's work experience? And I see in your eyes so much new stars and ideas, and I feel your instinct you have. How do you balance this? Because this is not so easy, I think, for the young generation.
I think it's a journey. I know there's like a very common answer, but I think there is like as wine, there is a continuous evolution to that. And I think like what Casalosta is today is the reflection of my parents' approach. When you are a family business, when you're so much involved into the production, of course, and I would say this is exactly what should be, like your wines are the expression or your personality, your moment in life. So I think is for me is finding while I'm learning what would be the expression of my wine when I will get there. And for me, it's not a disruption. So it's not something that is going to start from like scratch or like from a zero point, but it's like the evolution. There is a beautiful element about the fact that even the harvests that we're getting are different from what my parents harvest like 15 or 20 years ago. So there is like this, again, this evolution happening. So I think for me is a way of like learning, understanding the moment, feeling that I have like a very strong support that is going to help me to just like guide all the choices. Definitely one of the things I can tell you now, there will be a lot of experimentation happening. I have a lot of ideas, as you know. But definitely there is like a great balance between what has been and what will be.
Okay, perfect. Sounds great. So now, but let's go a little bit more into the year or into the vintage. Now we can speak about the vintage, because I always don't say vintage before it's harvested.
Correct. Correct.
So, but now it's harvested. Mm-hmm. It's all in the cellar. You gave us a little bit before when we tasted the wine. What can you say or tell us about the vintage all over 2025? So weather, other conditions, are you happy with the temperatures? What is special for, or not special, what is characteristic for 2025?
As I said, I think like Sangiovese is definitely a very resilient type of varietals. So like, I mean, this fluctuation of temperatures and weather, which definitely has an effect. These years particularly, I don't think they have kind of like impacted too much. Mm-hmm. And we got a great like phenolic like ripeness, which is what like a winemaker is looking for before deciding to harvest. we really felt that there was no stress. The plant was very balanced.
They had a good summer.
We had a good summer.
The plants as well.
As well, yes. So we like, I was there. I mean, I spent the whole August in at the winery, but we definitely had. So that was the reason why, for example, we harvest earlier than usual. So we start a little bit earlier than in the previous years, because we felt that the grapes were ready. And when we started bringing them into the cellars, we could see them, the way they were kind of like sliding into mm-hmm. the machines, how mm-hmm. they were like stemmed and crushed, and the idea that we were getting like a great product since the very beginning. Of course, as you just said, you don't say anything until all the grapes mm-hmm. are in the cellars. Plus, we have to underline that we're Neapolitans, so very superstitious. So with us, you have to be extra careful.
Yeah.
We also seen how all the fermentations were just like happening at the right time, at the right pace, because this is the other like a big concern sometimes, that you just bring everything and you have like a fermentation that stops like suddenly,
yeah.
or sometimes that they are not going as quick or as fast yeah. as they should. And that's the reason why when you are in the harvest mode, there are no weekends, there is no day off. Every day there is like a very strong and strict protocol that you have to follow, which also for me, who was like, for me it was the first time again in the cellars, it gave me the even more deep understanding of how much science and knowledge you must have to be able to manage a process like that one. Plus, this is one of the things that I love to say during the tours when I speak about wine, is the fact that a winemaker has one shot per year.
Yeah.
When you are kicking off the harvest and all the process that comes from that, that's your chance.
Yeah.
If something doesn't go as planned, you don't have a second chance. No. You have to wait the following year. So there is much stress, there is a lot of intensity, but there is also the beauty of being very much in the moment.
Mm.
You have to be there. You have to control. You have to just like have a perfect sense of what all the vats that you have in the cellars are doing. So if you come to Casalosa in real time, we have like the walls full of like papers with every single change that is happening, because we have to track everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other big results of being a small winery. You know, it's just like having the chance to follow each step of the way, just like being able to notice every single change that happens during just like a month and a half, 2 months, I would say.
Your father is, when I remember well, was studying enologist.
Yeah. He's like the agronomist and the enologist of the winery. So
he has the knowledge and the experience, of course.
Exactly.
I had the chance in September to taste your father's 1995 mm-hmm. Chianti Classico Riserva. It was so amazing. I'm hope for you that the people will say so many years.
30 years.
In 30 years, the same about your wine. But because it was incredible. In German, we say lecker. Incredible goods. Oh, it was fantastic.
Well, I would say that when we're going to taste in 30 years, the 2025 will definitely be like our wine. You know, it's not just mine. I think this is the year of the parallel. They're just like working together. I think the 2025 will be the vintage where like the two generation have been working together.
I mentioned it because 1995 is a very young vintage also for your father, because mm-hmm. you bought in, or your first vintage was 93.
Correct. Yes.
So it was his third vintage. So he was young in the experience mm-hmm. and
Mamma Mia, and now you can. So it's so for me, it was a little bit similar, or yeah, could be similar.
No,
say, hopefully,
exactly. Like as
just wanted to underline the knowledge of your mm-hmm. father, of your experience. Of the experience of your father. So great. What is what would you say now at the moment? How? Or have you an idea? Let me say in that way. What we talked about before, the wine is not ready. It's a baby. Do you have an idea where it is going? In which direction?
No. Well,
or can we say? It's just.
I think it is. We definitely have our directions. I mean, we know that we're gonna make the labels that you all know, and with making sure that the characteristic of the vintage will be respected and will be shown when the wine will be ready. But I think I want to say that even a winemaker who has a blueprint of how to make wine, there is always the level of flexibility,
yeah,
because this is a living product, and you have to follow each steps to make sure that you are combining the characteristic of the vintage, your own style, as well as the vision that you have for that vintage. So I would say stay tuned and you will discover it.
I would say nature is the boss, huh?
I think it is a workmate,
okay,
I would say.
Okay.
For me, winemaking is definitely 50% nature and 50% human craft.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because you, when you are preparing for the harvest, you are providing to the fields all the best chances to produce their best quality. So you are supporting the nature to just get to that level. But then as soon as it gets into the cellars, is also your knowledge, your craft, your creativity that comes along. And that's the reason why wine is such an amazing industry, because when you're getting a glass, you're not just getting a wine from a specific region. You are tasting an interpretation of the territory, a personality of the man or the woman who is behind that wine. It's just is nature and human craft and human knowledge. So that's they have to work together. They have to know each other very well.
And the land, I would say. The land where the plants are growing, very important. What connects you most deeply with that land? What is the old Chianti? Because we spoke before, you have been in London, you changed twice. First from Panzano to London, then from London back to Panzano. Yeah. For me, when people ask me, Nina, what is beautiful? Why do you always go to Panzano? I would say, I can't say it in one word. It's so many things. Can you tell us what you are feeling here?
It's really hard to pinpoint one thing. Mm. You know, I think it's a feeling. When I left, it was because as a 20 years old girl, I was looking for big city experience, and I needed that. I loved London as the city of my heart. Anytime I go back, it just feels home. But a certain point, as usually happens, your life change, your chapters of your life change. And I felt that the wine world was so interesting. And I felt that I had a beautiful things back home that I wanted to just honor and celebrate what I got. So when I got back to Panzano, I think it's a feeling of having something that is a true statement, a physical statement of your story. of like something that is speaking your own language, that you have been living in that house, you have been running and playing as a kid in that like garden. And the, like, I think one of the thing which makes me more excited about is having the chance to go around the world and tell the story. Mm-hmm. Like I can feel goosebumps. Even I'm repeating the same story because, yeah, I mean, like, it is the story. But every time I'm in front of an audience and I'm able to just like unpack that bottle of wine with all the details, I think is phenomenal. I remember I was in London and we organized like it was the celebration of our 25th harvest. And we did a vertical tasting from 1993 to, I think, 2017. And one of the things I was most impressed was my dad remembering every single vintage.
Yeah.
So, oh, that vintage was very wet. Oh, yeah, that vintage, yeah, was really, yeah, hot. And at that, yeah, time, I couldn't understand how he was remembering so clearly. And now I've been doing 4 harvests. I can tell, yeah, you exactly, yeah, how was the weather for each, yeah, of them. Because when you are living that moment, I think it just becomes part of you so quickly that then it's just like, it just comes automatically.
Fantastic. I always say, or let me say, I say often say it's the lifestyle here, but not the lifestyle in sense of party. I think it's the lifestyle of the, in sense of the rhythm of life here. And I think this is a little bit what you also said to us now, because it is the very special way to, mm-hmm, live here.
Yeah.
And this is so fantastic. How do you see your role as a part of the next generation in Chianti Classico? Do you think, because that in Chianti Classico at the moment, there are many, many producers, not only in Panzano, I know all of them, and I know you have a WhatsApp group with all the young producers. Mm-hmm. How can you say that there's a chair, you know, there's another point of view now to winemaking? Of course, we have other conditions in sense of nature and sense of climate change. And that, because 20 years ago, we harvested, not we, because not me, but you harvested 1 month later in usual conditions. Do you think the new generation has a new point of view as well for Chianti Classico as your parents or the parents of your colleagues had at their beginning?
I do feel again that we don't have to see that as a disruption or something that just there is like a very defined, drawn line. If you think like Chianti Classico, the consortium has celebrated 100 years last year, has a very like deep and rich history. And in 100 years, things have changed a million times. I think every person who decides to come back to this territory and to work in, for, and thanks to this territory is bringing his own experience. So I would say that there is this kind of like ongoing, again, evolution, approach, discovery, research, experimentation as well. So I wouldn't talk about like a different point of view, but like different personalities who are gonna match, celebrate, and honor this place. Because I believe that a lot of the young generations, they have been doing like different experiences, and they decided to move back. And I really, really value this concept of choosing this territory.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're choosing something, it means that you're gonna do it in a very respectful, in a very gentle way. You're gonna give a lot, you're gonna take something, and you're gonna make something beautiful. There is a level of co-creation, I would like to say. So I think it's fantastic that so many people are deciding to take this path. Is bringing this kind of like vibrancy, this kind of like, I don't know, the burning needs of the next the next chapter, you know, which I think is really exciting at the moment. Really, really exciting.
No, it's for me as well. I'm working now for in the Chianti Classico region more than 20 years. And so it's very funny also to see that evolution you said before. And I love it because I feel the, as you said, the vibrancy as well as a person outside, but I can feel it. And it's so interesting. And at the beginning, and often I knew you, or I know you since I think you have been 11 or 12.
Yes.
We have been once for lunch together, and now we are sitting together and talking about your first wine production. What has surprised you most about yourself since returning from London?
Wow, that's a big question.
Or did you plan that?
No, as so, much like I'm a real, like Nina, you know that I'm a real planner. That's like my London background coming along. But I think the way I approached this job was to, of course, experiment, learn more, but also leave enough space to be surprised. Even in my like previous career, I always liked the description of being a sponge, absorbing everything that happens around you. This brings me to like when I was, this is like a very short story, but when I was looking for my university course, you know, like you finish high school, you don't know what you want to do next, and you start searching. And during a university open day, I was at this presentation where these professors were saying, you guys, you're going to pick a course that you think you're going to love. And during this process, during this journey, you're going to find something that you're going to love more. And you're going to change your career to go towards that part. And I always loved that concept of being open enough to just like be surprised of what you're going to fall in love with. And this is exactly what happened with the sellers. I love my, like the job that I have been doing for the last 3 years in terms of presentations, hospitality, tours, tasting, because like I'm a people person. So I love like being in those environments. But I just approach the cellar work like, okay, let's see, I'm a sponge. I'm going to absorb everything I can. And I fell in love with that. So I think like more than being surprised about like something about myself is the fact that I didn't lose that part of my personality, that I'm still very easily excited by something new. And I'm just like learning and I'm improving, I'm increasing, and everything connects. Because of course, if I have a more understanding of what happens in the cellars, what are the choices that we make during the winemaking process, I'm also able to explain that during my presentations and provide a more personal and real touch of what we do at Casa Loste.
Thank you so much for these wonderful words at the end of our conversation. Thank you for the time and thank you for the insight you have given us into Casa Loste, your everyday life at Casa Loste, and especially into your heart. Grazie, Maria Giovanna.
Grazie, Nina. It's always a great pleasure. I mean, like it's like time flies when we conversate. And yeah, thank you so much for having me again.
All the best for the future and all the best for the time.
Thank you.
Grazie.
Grazie mille.
Ciao, ciao.
Ich weiß ja nicht, wie es dir dabei geht, aber wenn ich Maria Giovanna so zuhöre, dann denke ich immer, Wein ist nicht nur ein Handwerk, es ist auch ein unheimliches Gefühl, eine Gefühlssache. Diese Mischung aus Wissen, Erfahrung, Leidenschaft, last but not least, das Vertrauen in die Natur. Ich finde, Maria Giovannas Erzählungen über ihre Erfahrungen zeigen, wie viel Herzblut in jeder Flasche steckt. Für mich ist das ein wunderbares Beispiel dafür, dass Chianti Classico nicht einfach nur ein Wein ist. Ich sage immer, Chianti Classico ist ein Lebensgefühl. Und genau darum geht's ja in meinem Podcast. Ich sage nochmals danke, herzlichen Dank an Maria Giovanna für ihre Zeit, uns in ihre Welt mitzunehmen und all das, damit du hoffentlich eine gute Zeit mit dieser Episode hattest. Danke für deine Aufmerksamkeit. Ich weiß mir das sehr zu schätzen. Wenn dir mein Podcast gefällt oder diese Episode ganz besonders gefallen hat, dann freue ich mich über eine gute Bewertung von dir. Danke schon mal vorab dafür, denn das hilft mir sehr weiter, meinen Podcast auch für andere Weinliebhaber sichtbar zu machen. Wie immer aber hoffe ich, dass ich dich auch heute mitnehmen konnte in meine Chianti Classico-Welt, denn das ist meine Passion, mein Auftrag. So fühle ich es zumindest. Bis zum nächsten Mal hoffentlich. Ich freue mich schon auf dich. Ciao, a presto! Da doch keinen ein, drum schenk ihm Lämmlein.